Taylor Swift's success is mind-boggling. Like,
it is. It is. She sold out the Blue Jay Stadium in Toronto for 5 shows in like a day. That's 300,000 people in a day. And it's like $1,000 ticket. How is that? You know what I mean? Like, I don't even, how?
1.5 million people?
The math is not adding up, but it seems beyond, it's way beyond Michael Jackson at this point. You realize that, right?
I think I get it.
Please explain, brother.
So Taylor Swift is relatable. She's not the world's greatest singer. She cannot dance at all. So I think that allows a huge population of younger white women to see themselves in her. I see myself in this very mediocre singing. I see myself in this very mediocre dancing. That relatability across a wide swath of population drives these huge mammoth-like followings. Think about the world-class performers that will dance and sing Taylor Swift under the table that don't have a modicum of her success.
All of them.
He said every single one. The nigga Pop Lockie on the corner just like, you know, blows Taylor Swift out of the water. Yeah,
the nigga with autism that just be out on the corner just in traffic just rapping to himself just every single day.
All bars, yeah. Though. You know,
you
bars.
You might be right, man.
It's a red flag.
That's the kind of shit that I like about Rick and Morty, the character study and the aspect of it. I don't watch it to laugh at all, quite frankly.
Really?
If I laugh, that's like a bonus.
And with that being said, welcome everybody to Waving the Red Flag, the number one dating, relationship, Rick and Morty and Beyonce appreciation podcast in the entire solar system and known parts of the universe. It's your boy, Josh. It's Alvin. Eddie couldn't be here with us tonight because he's actually out living his deepest dream of replacing Will West in Jungle's next music video. So, you know, we'll see him next week. But never fret, we got one of our first original guests who played a role in one of our very first viral videos on TikTok, Canada's favorite colored comedian, your boy Abbas Wahab, back for another one. Drink style.
What it do, what it do. Drink style Canada champ, you know? Don't even fuck with me. They don't even fuck with me. What was the video? I don't even remember. What happened?
It was
my memory's supposed to be bad. Nah, it was the one where we talked about Jeffrey Dahmer and like being in prison. No one suspects a black psychopath.
Yeah.
It was that.
You know, Ted Bundy got bitches. He would be like fucked up next to a car, be like, "Can you help?" And they would come help. That's already, it wouldn't work for black guys in the dark at night. Can you help? No, nigga, right. They're off. You know, it wouldn't even work.
I thought you were giving me a Shay Shay level intro. I was like, oh shit.
Hey man, that's what I do, low key, just a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
I know. I mean, if you wanna dish on the comic community and like let us know some shit, like let us know, man. You know, is Kevin Hart really a piece of shit? Like, do you got the inside scoop?
Imagine, I'm like, guys, listen, from me, based on me watching his movies and following him on Instagram, this is my take on Kevin Hart, all right?
This is about to be our Cat Williams episode.
Exactly.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yo, you guys watch, did you guys watch all of the tsunami episodes that came after it? Monique and Terry Crews and shit?
Everybody's trying to speak their truth now, goddammit.
Oh my God.
And half of it is like, they bullshit. Like, you know, people just like, they own insecurities that they think are like their truth. Which I'm not, man, hey, I ain't here for no smoke, but it's a little weird, some of it. It's like, yo, nigga, you lying, kinda.
I love in that episode with Kat, she's like, damn it, man, Kat, nobody gonna come on now. Kat's like, are you kidding? They all coming.
About to be in a whole nother solar system with this one.
And he was right. Like,
he was right.
Apparently, per Shannon Sharp, he made more money with that video and the aftermath of that video than he's made, you know, his entire...
His highest earning NFL career.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Is what he said, which is why.
That's ridiculous. I just think it's incredibly dope that after you, like, get done with, like, a certain point in your life, you can transition into something, like, even... that you would never expect to transition into and to have even more success. Like, from going, playing professional football to being, like, a media personality.
Yeah.
That's what that Travis Kelce is doing right now, bro. He's producing some film. He's building his cachet outside of the game slowly but surely. So it's like, even if that, you know, that Taylor relationship comes to an end, he'll be able to like he'll be relay Jeff his way Coach. To like an, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Because he's part of the dynasty, whether it ends now or not. He got a piece of it. You know what
this
I mean?
This nigga Travis better do his best to lock Taylor Swift up, man.
Man, buddy, fuck all. I mean, like, well, not fuck everyone, all that, but you know,
I'd be retiring next fucking year, bro. Like.
Yeah, just tour managing for her and shit. Oh yeah, like just that. Keeping real
trophy
close.
Husband, keeping fucking trophy
husband, a Super Bowl champion, yeah. Travis yeah. Kelce's trophy husband to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's success is mind boggling. Like
it is
fucking mind boggling. I cannot wrap my mind around how huge like, she is.
Like I didn't even realize it until my buddy told me that she sold out the Blue Jay Stadium in Toronto for 5 shows in like a day. And I'm like, but that's 300,000 people. He's like, yeah. And I was like, that's 300,000 people in a in day. Five. And it's like $1,000 ticket. How is that? How I do, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even, how,
15,
what?
1.5 million people? Or 15 million?
The math is not adding up. I don't, I just don't understand it. You know what I mean? And I don't know if as a black man, my mind has that capacity to understand it. But it seems beyond, it's way beyond Michael Jackson at this point.
I don't think it's beyond Michael Jackson because I just think the nature of celebrities changed, right? Like I think celebrities are so much more accessible that I don't know if we'll ever have a Michael Jackson again.
But I just in sheer drawing numbers, like
that I agree with. That I agree with in terms of like
sheer drawing, like
sales charts,
populations coming in. She goes, she's dating him now. The team has 4 times the revenue or some shit like that.
She,
like
she what? Earned like billions for the NFL. Like they have like a estimated figure of how much she earned the league just by going to those games consistently. It's billions. That's just showing, exactly. Just showing up to games and just being happy and on the sidelines the in the Kansas box, City whatever. City. You know,
crazy. It's crazy.
And the fact that they actually won the Super Bowl is like just of like just out of this fucking world, bro. Out of this world.
I know. He should have proposed.
But they were favorites. They were favored to win
at the beginning of the season. But you know, like they had issues, like all the drops with the wide receivers. You know, they were inconsistent. They lost some games they should have won. But you got a team with Patrick Mahomes. You got a team with arguably the best tight end of all time on it. You always got a shot. You got the best offensive coach in the league. They always had a shot. They were never true underdogs at any point.
You know what I was looking when I was watching that Super Bowl? Every time they brought Taylor, you know, they would cut to her mm-hmm. box. She's got like all her friends surrounding her. I loved her friends would like, you would just see, because we'd have 4 seconds where they show you her in the box, right? Mm-hmm. And in that time, you could see the dynamic. Her friend would like be grabbing her arm, trying to take a selfie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Just like trying to pull her. Everyone's trying to get her in this bitch in her life in some fragment or another. Yeah. I'm like, wow, what a fucked up life that is. That's some next shit.
The thing that got me is that she's so famous is that other famous people would be in the box with her. And they wouldn't even acknowledge that there were other famous people like standing right next to her. Like it was one game. This may have, I don't know if it was Super Bowl, but it was one game where Blake Lively was in the box next to her and they were just like chilling. And it was one where like Ice Spice was in there. And like the commentary team didn't acknowledge that shit at all. It was just like, okay, Ice Spice is right there. Okay, Blake Lively's right there. But Taylor Swift is dancing a little bit. Shit. Taylor Swift
that's the Super Bowl. Yeah,
Taylor Swift is doing the swag surf right now. That's all we care about.
I hated it for that because it's like, oh my God, you bringing such mayonnaise to the culture. Like, it does not sit right with me when I see such uncoordinated, stiff ass swag surfing. I hate it. But I mean, hey, you know, you do what you want to, but don't try to appropriate that shit. I'm like, oh, Taylor Swift creates the driving goddamn surf.
Netflix needs to do a 3-part docuseries on this just to help people like me understand the come up and the magnitude and how I got to this. Cause it's in a proportion now that I've never seen and I can't make sense of.
I think I get it. And I'm gonna draw some conclusions here. I promise I'll bring it home, but I think it's very similar to Drake's early success and why he continues to be a juggernaut in his own right. So Taylor Swift is relatable, right? So I don't think she's I don't think she's super talented. She's not the world's greatest singer. She cannot dance at all. So I don't think she's like a phenomenal performer in any stretch of the imagination. So I think that allows a huge population of younger white women to see themselves in her. Because it's like, oh, I see myself in this very mediocre singing. I see myself in this very mediocre dancing. And I think that that relatability is poignant. And I think that's what drove a lot of Drake's early shit. Drake's early shit was like, I'm a sad boy because girls be doing me wrong and shit. You know, Marvin's Room type shit. And I think that if you draw that parallel across a lot of music, that relatability across a wide, you know, swath of population drives these huge mammoth like followings. How you cultivate and move as your fan base ages just gives you additional longevity. Because I think Taylor Swift and Drake have both done that really well. Like, I think Drake's fan base was different when he was, you know, coming up early. And I think he's changed with them. And I think Taylor Swift has done that same thing to remain equally as relatable.
You might be right. Her lack of rhythm is making her just more relatable to people.
100%, man. Just like 100%.
She's a human.
Yeah.
Bro, like,
Think about the world-class performers that will dance and sing Taylor Swift like under the table that don't have a modicum of her success.
All of them.
He said every single one. The nigga Pop Locky on the corner, just like, you know, blows Taylor Swift out of the water.
The nigga with autism that just be out on the corner, just in traffic, just rapping to himself, just every single day.
All bars, though, you know,
bars. You might be right, man.
Nah, bro, like, because, like, Taylor's, I mean, it's crazy because, like, Taylor Swift is so goddamn big. She got Travis Kelce in trouble for goddamn appropriating a fade, a common fade.
Oh, that blew my mind. That was the stupidest shit I've ever seen. That's stupidity.
That.
How you can't fade from a 2 to a 1 now without having a black friend cosign?
Yeah.
You need a black
friend.
Are you fading into another length of hair, motherfucker?
Oh my god, I ain't never seen no shit like that.
How dare you shit on slavery? What? Like what?
But yo, man, y'all trying to get into a quick topic. Oh,
let's get it.
I got a good one. Cause I wanted to get your perspective about something like comedians being held to like a different standard.
I think it's all bullshit, man. I think it's
oh,
I think,
hold on, let me shut a video. Let me shut a video, my brother. Let me shut a video real quick.
Oh god, I don't know this thing works, brother. Do play.
I know, right? I'm trying to. And this is from. Oh my god. All right.
It's life we live.
From the good brother Willie Mack, who has also been on the podcast before, but he posed the question of why are comedians held accountable for the material they write on stage and get blacklisted, while writers of actual like prominent television shows can write about anything they want to and nothing happens to them. They get awards, you know, prizes, all the accolades for writing potentially extremely offensive stuff. But comedians are held to a different standard.
Well, there's a disconnect, right? Because a writer writes it, someone else takes it on the screen, someone else says it. First of all, the disconnect makes it so you could stay away from it. If it don't do good, it was just written. If it does do good, it was mine. But on stage, it's you. And one of the tricks about comedy is that you have to make it look, you have to hone your comedy to a point where it looks as if it's coming off the dome right now. It looks as if you're just saying this in the moment. It looks easy. So people really take everything you say for face value. Yeah. They take it as they see it. So you could say some wild shit and people are like, he meant that. He said it just like that. Whereas a writer wrote it and now there's all these steps in between before it makes it to its final place. So it's a lot easier to wash your hands of it is what I think. But also at the same time, all of these people that are getting canceled are bigger than ever, right? Like Shane Gillis, for example, SNL hired him and then fired him when some guy showed that he did like some Asian accent on a podcast. And now he's the fastest growing. He's like the Drake of Drake 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That cancel shit ended up being the rocket fuel for his trajectory. Where you see that a lot of times, you know?
Is it?
Nobody's ever successfully been canceled other than like Weinstein.
Kramer, Michael Richards.
Yeah, like Kramer, Weinstein, yeah. R. Kelly.
Yeah, Weinstein jail canceled him. Yeah. Epstein died. Yeah. So like R. Kelly obviously wasn't going to get away forever.
Yeah. Like, cancel culture is like when people say, oh, this person got canceled, it's like you said something and you had to deal with consequences of what you said. Like, that's not cancellation.
No, if anything, dude, honestly, it's magnification. It's the opposite of what we thought. Because here's the thing. I didn't even know the name Shane Gillis until I read the headline, comedian Shane Gillis fired from SNL.
That is interesting. I searched,
who is Shane Gillis? Who is Shane Gillis? Everyone I know, not everyone I know, I'll repeat that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are in a similar boat as me, whereas the first time someone gets canceled is when you actually find out about them. Cancellation for comedians is the best possible thing to happen to you.
So do you think comedians weaponize that? Do you think that comedians do that?
I have personal comedian friends who are doing that right now. I have a friend of mine who, you know, he's in Canadian comedy. I'll just avoid the name for what I'll say here. He purposefully gets venues. So he'll do a lot of edgy comedy, right? Mm. A lot of comedians do similar stuff, but he'll purposefully get liberal or community-based venues. He will book them because he knows that before the event takes place, that body is going to search his stuff and they're going to write him a letter being like, we do not agree with your blah, blah, blah. And then he posts that and then he goes, "There, guys, another venue just canceled on me, but don't worry, I'm gonna." And every time he posts, his interactions skyrocket. People want to see him more, and he gets these venues on purpose because it happened to me one time. And then he came, he's like, "Bro, I've been doing this on purpose for a minute." Because I found out, because I went to, there's a thing called NACA in the States, and Canada has a version of it, National Association of Campus Activities. You go, you perform for these people, and then they get all of their performers for college campuses for the year. So I did Canada's version, and I did some trans joke, and they got very offended, and they wrote me some email saying, like, we were disturbed by your performance. We had a meeting afterwards because of your thing. We do not want to blah, blah, blah. And I posted that email, and bro, my surge of tickets for the tour I had going, buddy, at least a couple grand in tickets in 24 hours, just because as soon as people see, like, oh, you're being publicly, like, crucified, it adds value to comedy. So cancellation adds value to comedy. I'm realizing that now.
You want to know what's crazy? I actually remember the post when you did that shit because I follow you on IG. And it was a while back, and I remember when you posted
remember
it.
Right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Because people are like, yo, fuck them, stay up, blah, blah, blah. I got you. I'm going to see you in Ottawa. I'm going to see you in Montreal. It was like free a bus. You know what I mean? Like, they were like getting shit. I had no idea. And then I went to my buddy. He goes, buddy, I've been getting these venues, these liberal-ass venues, because I know they're going to send me these rejection letters. I post them. I grow stronger. It's crazy times.
Damn, bro. That's some sick shit. Not that you're like purposely engaging in it, but that's some sick shit. Like when you take advantage of that dynamic in a group of marginalized people, a group of marginalized and oppressed people for your benefit. So it's like, oh shit, this works. Let's keep doing it.
But then here's the thing. But here's the other side of it is that now you'll have a lot of comedians knowing the nature of cancel culture and shit. They specifically create bits about, like, what's the hot thing right now? Yeah. What are the fucking trans? I'm going to give every angle. Trans, Trump, what else is there? You know what I mean? And they'll specifically target these groups of topics to create bits about because they know, like, it's similar in the world of podcasting. You know, if Trump got arrested yesterday and we're podcasting today, we got to talk Trump.
It's going to be trending, in the thumbnail. Right? You know,
it's going to be in the thumbnail. It has to be. So comedies, it's in a similar space. But the problem is you take time to cultivate a joke and hone a joke. So now you have an agenda of only creating jokes about the things that were trending 2 months ago. And you're not really speaking to your truths. It kind of becomes a little fabricated. So it's a dangerous road, but it could pay off. And it's a double-edged sword. You know what I mean?
And my thing with – so one, I do want to circle back around to that because I think your insights on that are extremely interesting. But before I get too much on a tangent, with the post, I think that there's a disconnect between what comedians get backlash for and what was called out as what, like, writers talk about, right? So, like, comedians can talk about assault and violence and, like, all that kind of stuff and that be completely fine. Comedians can also make jokes about you know, the LGBTQ community, and that'd be fine. What happens is when you start talking about their personage, you know, in a way that I think like Dave Chappelle has consistently done, or when you start talking about them being, you know, satanic the way that like Cat Williams did on like the Rogan podcast or whatever. So I think that what people do is they're having these, they're conflating two different things, right? Like writers can talk about a lot of stuff that was listed, and comedians can also talk about those things, but it doesn't talk about the things that comedians are actually getting canceled for, because nobody's ever really been canceled in comedy other than Kramer. Like I think we probably could search real hard to come up with like 5-6 people, but the names of people that you associate with cancel culture are like Louis C.K. is touring. You know what I mean? Like he's back. Yeah. Like you know,
Carlos Mencia is probably one of the only people, but it wasn't cancel culture. It was the people that got him because he was exposed as a joke thief, and then the kind of the world of comedy kind of got privy to that, yeah, and got smart to it and just stopped his draw. He stopped touring less and blah blah blah. Yeah. It all kind of just fell apart.
But
cancellation by the system, yeah, has never really happened.
And even with joke thieves, I mean, like fuck, Amy Schumer still booked and busy. Like you know what I'm saying? Like I mean,
than ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I mean,
she's got a brand. So now Netflix, Amy Schumer does like Amy Schumer presents, and she'll choose. You know, like when someone gets a government contract and they're a middleman, yeah, and they subcontract. Yeah. That's what Amy Schumer is for comedy now. So Netflix is like, you're a name, women, yeah. And she gets 3-4 people that are on the come up. She gives them 10 minutes a piece. They give them a little money. Snoop Dogg did the exact same. A lot of these people have done the same thing where they just use their brand and they're kind of not really doing comedy.
Snoop is a goddamn household treasure. You know what I'm saying? Like the man's a national treasure.
No disrespect to Snoop,
you know,
at all.
But yeah, like yeah. Snoop, Kevin Hart. Well, you know, I know people go, oh my God, Kevin Hart. But Kevin Hart, like you said, I think he's doing the same thing. Snoop definitely. He's been doing that for years. Snoop is more internationally famous than Jay-Z, or basically like a lot of our like American like superstars. Like Snoop is mm-hmm. more internationally famous than a lot of
Snoop Dogg is Michael Jackson right now of the world. Like you can go to the fucking Amazon and be like Snoop Dogg, oh, they'll go, oh fucking bling.
Snoop Dogg,
bling,
bling,
bling, bling.
Snoop Dogg,
Snoop Dogg. Snoop
Double
D O Double G.
You know beautiful. What I mean? Yes, that's yeah. me. That's me.
Everyone knows Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
He's like Coca-Cola.
Be a little, man, you know that nigga can fight? Just a random fact.
Damn right he can. Yeah, he said because Wiz Khalifa, yeah, like he's his uncle. I don't know if he says that kind of like just black culture thing.
Yeah, no, they're not.
He's everybody's
related,
uncle.
But yeah,
he's everybody's uncle.
He's the original uncle.
He's a proper hood dude. Don't forget that. You know, yeah, I know Long he's with Beach Martha and Stewart kind of shit, and shit like yeah. that, but he's a lanky. I bet you can box.
But it's like that nigga, no, it ain't just like street fighting. Like I seen him like actually training, like current age. Like throwing hands, like in a sparring match.
That's
it's
crazy.
Like I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want. Nah, I wouldn't want no parts of that.
You guys see this Jake Paul Mike Tyson?
I saw the headline.
I can't wait to see that shit, man. I can't wait to see that shit. Jake Paul's gonna win. Me too. But it's gonna be hilarious. I know. It's gonna be hilarious.
You think Jake Paul gonna win?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because he's gonna get Mike Tyson's gonna have like a stipulation. Like if you knock Jake out, you lose $10 million. You know, it's going to be a huge purse for both of them. And Mike's going to have to play the game just to get the maximum money. But it's also like, I wish he just goes, fuck it, and just like turns it on and just finishes it.
Like the old Mike. So,
yeah, but he'd be fucking up so much money, I don't think he would do it.
Yeah, that's interesting because I would very much so like to see the old Mike Tyson's personality come back in a fight with Jake Paul.
See, here's the thing. It's like, bro, that old school warrior, a true warrior that went to war versus like a new age person training. And they went to war. Like this, like Mike Tyson went to World War I. He came home. He went to World War II. He's a veteran, you know?
Yeah.
Like you can't in the gym, you can't recreate these conditions. There's nothing Jake could do to get him to the level. Like, forget the body. Mike Tyson wouldn't even have to work out. It would just be one round of him being like, go. And I think Mike Tyson would win if it was like none of this bullshit.
It'd just be straight up vicious and savage and ass whooping. Like, exactly. I mean, just power punches to the body.
Forget cardio. Exactly. Just fucking come back.
Yeah. I told you I was going to bend you over and make you my lover.
And it's like,
I'll fuck you till you love me.
And for people who don't know like old school boxing, man, like I watched Hitman Hearns and like Marvin Hagley like not that long ago, and these were just motherfuckers that was just fucking like punching each other in the face, like into, you know what I'm saying? Like
no footwork, no
defense. Defense was sleep that fight, man. Like these motherfuckers was just like punching each other. That's just like not what boxing is anymore. But like, you know, Mike Tyson, people always talk about the power, but like he definitely brought an element to the defensive style that most heavyweights like never had. Yeah. Like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, cuss. Oh yeah, he brought it, man.
Yeah, but it's like you put Jake.
Now it's all that shoulder.
Yeah, that shoulder shit.
Mayweather, that shoulder. That
Detroit shit. Yeah, but it's like, you know, Jake Paul isn't ready for that mentality, you know, that a Mike Tyson had, because the whole boxing, even if he was playing this straight, right? Even if he was doing this in like a real fight environment, the environment is just so different than the environment that created what Mike Tyson like used to be.
That's what I'm saying.
Like he came it just up doesn't old exist
world
anymore.
World style, like the Romans, like something else. Like he came up in a way that was like, it doesn't, that this yeah. upbringing, it doesn't happen anymore. It's old world and you can't recreate that. You just can't. It's like a fighter pilot that went to war, has confirmed kills in the air versus like the brightest space cadet. You know what I mean?
And even the guys that like were transitional that I think probably still embodied some of that, like Jake Paul not fighting none of them, man. Like put Jake Paul in the fight with fucking Andre Ward right now. Like just do it. Just make it happen.
It's theatrics. Yeah. It's just entertainment, you know? It's kind of a buzzkill, but you know, Nate Robinson had to go get that money, right?
I know.
And speaking of theatrics and entertainment, we got to take a quick pause for the calls and pay some bills real quick. Like, and you want to know how we're going to do it?
That was very good, Josh. That was very good, Josh. That was.
I got you, my brother. Thank you for recognizing the greatness of Bosch. You asked the question earlier off, you know, on the live. Yes, we do have a card game, and it's called It's a Red Flag. So, good people, if you're looking to spice up your game night, your date night, or just your regular conversations with your friends, family, girlfriend, boyfriend, they, them, you know what I'm saying? If you're trying to get a little close to it, just talk a little something with, kick some game too, make sure that you pick up a pack of It's a Red Flag, sponsored by your boys, Waving a Red Flag podcast, because these 50-plus prompts will have you and yours having crazy conversations from dusk till motherfucking dawn. But act quick, because these cards are still on pre-order. We technically don't know when we actually will stop selling them, because, you know, ooh, we're a very small business and, you know, logistics. But thank you all so much for everybody that supported, already copped the pack. And, yeah, so go, and you can go to shop.wavingaredflag.com and pick up a pack today. Technically, pre-order. But again, shop.wavingaredflag.com. Make your order on pre-order today. We'll get that thing out to you ASAP.
Why you had to say it was a very small business? Damn, nigga. This nigga just like took us down a couple notches.
I mean, look, it's three, look, it's three niggas in this bitch, okay? It's three niggas in this bitch. Last episode, it was a
small business. Yeah. Guys, very. Yeah. Yo, take one in the middle, read it.
I got you. Like, you see,
yeah,
you jump.
I want to hear what one sounds.
Yeah,
like.
No, we about to play the game.
I might get one.
Hey man, support the cause, baby.
I'm gonna give it to people and be like, you don't have these. Yo, everyone's getting these. They're like, oh fuck, right. Okay.
Yo, these shits almost got me canceled one time.
It's the same owners as Cards Against Humanity. Right. Same owners. Oh shit, what?
All right. Oh, let's see here. Ooh, okay. All right. So, is it a red flag if they mention that all their exes were abusive or crazy?
Man, do another one.
I mean, that is a good one, though. That is a good one. I think if it's over three or four, then it's a red flag. But if it's been like, you know, if it depends on the age of the person drawing that shit or answering that shit. But yeah, it's probably you, right? It's always you.
I mean, okay, so here's my thought. Again,
you got 10 exes, they're all nuts?
That are all, every single last one of them is crazy. I'm going to have to say, well, it's a bit of a red flag. I'm going to be looking at this person like, I don't know about you. Because I'm not hearing, and this is not to victim shame, victim nut, because I know it can be a touchy topic.
There's nothing wrong with a little victim shame every now and then.
Well, I mean, hey, whoa.
Every now and then.
I know.
The people like you, Abbas. The people like you. Don't fuck it up.
It's a very small business.
As a treat, you can victim blame every week. You get a little victim blaming as a
just
treat.
A little,
you know?
Just a tinge.
Understand
just
that this is a very small
just
business.
A very, very small business, bro. Like, don't we ain't that big for you to hate us yet. But
I say that's a red flag for sure.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if every single person that you've dated, and you claim that every single person that you mentioned in a conversation, oh my God, he was so abusive, or he was such a manipulator. Oh, he was so controlling. Every one of them. And I'm not hearing like, no, like, well, here's what I did in this relationship. Or like, I know I could have did some things better. Like, I wasn't perfect either, but I just hear they was to blame. They're always pointing the finger. I'm like, yeah, you're not somebody I want to, like, probably want to fuck with long term.
So I agree that it can be a red flag, but I'm looking at it from a different angle. Because I think that in the world, there are enough abusive people where, like, you could, you know, a person in the dating pool probably could find, you know, five consecutive people that were abusive emotionally, you know, physically, you know, spiritually, all that kind of stuff. I think the red flag for me is that you're potentially not dealing with the root causes on why you continue to let those kind of people into your life, which is again, not to be victim blaming, but it's also like there are certain things where it's like you do have habits that you tolerate based on certain, you know, deep held beliefs and habits that you've cultivated that started from something that usually isn't your fault. But I do think that at some point you have to make some decisions on how you want to conduct your life and live healthy, pro social and all that kind of stuff. But I do also think that people can 100% have like a string of consecutive, like, abusive people that has nothing to do with,
yeah,
them lying or all that kind of stuff, but it's like
I cap it at three, yeah, like 4, 5, 6, 7, etc. in a row. You're either magnetizing them, or you don't possess the correct filtering abilities to get them out of your shit early, right?
I think that's ultimately what I'm saying too. Yeah, like I think.
So then that falls on you, right?
After a certain point, I would say you have to have some responsibility on improving the situation.
And that'd be my thing. Because like because it's, once again, because it's not like a fucking, you know, bash women. It's not even about women. Like, because like, hell, men are in abusive
either
relationships
way. Yeah,
too.
Or
everybody can find themselves in an abusive situation or a string of them. But it's not to victim blame. But there is a such thing as, hey, after a certain point where you kind of go through things, you got to be able to suss out certain red flags or certain patterns and habits within people that might be abusive or not, might not be conducive, or maybe you just internally, like Alvin said, might like somebody who might not treat you the best because you don't think that you deserve better. But that's still, at the end of the day, that's something that you have to fix. And if you're going into another relationship with a new person and they are not abusive, or like they actually could be good for you, one, you might not really appreciate them like you should when you have a shot at someone who could actually be good for you. Or two, you might come across as that crazy person who's everybody they've dated has just been, you know, batshit crazy to them. And like, oh my God, like, I don't know why. I just attract all these dirt bags and I can't do anything about it. Men suck, but you're the good one though.
Or three, you act in a way that makes them act in a way that treats you shitty. So then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you're like, I'm going to be shitty in a way where you're shitty to me because I feel good in that shit. You know?
That is also very much so a thing. That is also very much so a big thing.
So it's like chaos, and then they get chaos back, yeah, and then they're comfortable.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay. There's chaos now.
This is like an agenda.
Yeah. Some people are like that. Some people are... I remember one time I went on a date with this girl, and she kept trying to have me fight the waiter.
What?
It was the weirdest.
Okay,
thing
ever. How what did that look like?
You gotta give some context.
Oh my God! About to just say the way he put that bread down, you should knock his ass out.
Yeah, this is the same story as the brick in the window.
That's a callback, by the way. If y'all want that kind of shit, y'all got to sign up for the Patreon. Y'all got to subscribe, motherfuckers. That's a callback.
Yo, if you're tuning into this episode, this is the callback 214. Okay, so what happened was, no, it was just like she was like, after he left, she goes, "Did you see how he looked at you at the end?" I swear to God. Do you see how he looked at you at the end? I'm like, huh? What? And she's like, yeah, he looked at you like. And here's the thing. Who do you picture of this girl right now? Ethnically, what do you picture?
White. I actually.
Guess that.
I'm actually
race.
Not going white. I'm actually not going white.
Yeah? No? Okay.
Josh, you said white?
I said, ooh. Oh, shit. Now I'm having second thoughts.
I'm going Indian.
I'm going white. Ooh. Damn.
Cambodian.
I was closer.
Okay.
I was closer.
That's Cambodian. Who's guessing Cambodian?
But Cambodia, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cambodian breast milk. Ooh.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about Cambodia is the breast milk.
A1. 100% breast milk. She's born in Canada. Yeah, born in Canada. Cambodian nurse. You know how nurses are like nymphos, right? Nurse, Cambodian, which I'm not saying all Cambodians are like this, but I just thought it was the only time I've ever been with a Cambodian. But she was just like, did you see the way you looked at you? I'm like, no, what? And then at the end, I pay. And somehow, I don't know, it was a first date. So I was like, you know what? You can't brush shit off too much because, like, you gotta look like if there was disrespect, I'm gonna handle it, right? Yeah. So now we leave, and she's like, she had us go back into the restaurant, and I confronted the guy.
Oh no!
And she's next to me, and in my interaction with the guy, I could just feel she was the crazy one. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I go back up to him.
I'm like, yo, bro, what's up? Real quick, bro. And he's like, hey, what's up, man? You forgot your to-go bin? Or I'm like, I just remember walking out and being like, this bitch is fucking crazy.
In that moment with the white, you started asking yourself, What the fuck am I doing?
The guy's Arab. I'm Sudani. I'm closer to him. She's got me fighting people closer to me than her. That is the type of chaos that's out there. You know what I mean? Like she just likes to have a guy maybe scrap for her or be in a position to have to. I don't know what it was.
This is not like a thing to cast on all people who say this, but to feel protected.
Cambodians, all right,
boys? I know, right? But to feel protected, because I ran across a lot of women who are like, oh my God, I just want to feel protected. I'm like, what exactly do you mean by that? Because, like, in my mind, you know, I'm going to keep you out of danger. Like, don't put me in no fucking shit to keep you out of danger from. Like, we're not going to be in the shit in the first place.
Exactly. That's creating the chaos to get you out. That's what we're talking about. And I was like, what?
I didn't realize your life was like a Key and Peele sketch. Like, that shit's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, no, that's really fucking good.
I didn't even remember this until this whole conversation
fucking
started.
Fucking memory unlocked.
Oh, maybe even shit. 10 years ago.
Buy the card game, motherfuckers.
And like, that's what this deck will get you.
It's a very small business.
It's very small. The smallest possible business.
Oh, shit. Very small. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying. Go easy on
this. This is not in the card pack, but what if you're dating a girl, every time she takes her socks off, she sniffs them?
That's very specific.
Yeah, right. Have you experienced that?
What is that? I have not. But I always, because I always sniff my sock when I take it off. And
what?
I'm always in my head.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay, that's kind of.
You guys don't? What the fuck?
No.
Unless I know my shit is rot. Like, unless I know it's been like a long day, I need to test something.
I don't know. I just, you know, just to keep, you know, just to keep tabs on your body. I don't know what it is, but I, you know, I'll take
so
it
you,
off.
You,
I don't even think
you
about
know
it.
What you, you want to know what your girl thinking, pretty much.
You know, I always think, I'm like, man, if a girl did that in front of me, what would I do?
I'd be kind of turned on first.
What would you do since you've thought about this?
I would be disgusted.
Really?
I would be disgusted, sir.
I'd be kind of turned on like the first time. Like, huh.
Have you ever smelled your sock in front of a significant other? Like, have you ever did that in front of a girl?
Well, not, you know, I've been with my girl for years now, so.
Yeah, that don't count.
Before that, no, fuck no. Okay. But, like, you know, I might, you know, take the boxes off, hit him with a, look, just see what, you know what I mean? Just, it's been a long, oh, shit, okay. You know, you guys have been there, you're looking at me like this, but we've all been there. But if, I definitely didn't do that shit in front of them in the dating time. Definitely not.
But you did go and confront that fucking waiter. I'm sorry, that shit is fucking hilarious.
I was horny, bro. Young in my 20s, I was like, yo, I think I gotta fight this guy.
I'm trying to get some pussy tonight. Like, yo,
if I'm gonna seal the deal tonight, I might have to fight.
He's in the fucking group chat, and the homies is fucking hyping him up. And niggas is like, man, I think you gotta fucking fight her. Like, I seen her. I seen the pic, bro.
Yo, should I wait till the shift's over or just come at him right now? Yo, when are you done, son? When's this place closing? To 2? And you're at what? 2:30? Oh shit. Okay. Well, are you working tomorrow? No.
Okay. I'm just saying. Well, I'll fucking be here the day after,
you, bro. Yeah. Exactly. I'm fucking.
Yo.
Nah, man.
Nah, God.
Craziness, bro. Wait, you guys never had some women just like in Muslim culture when the devil whispers in your ear, it's called waswas. So there's all this like. In the Quran, it says like the devil will whisper all the waswas in your ear. You ever had a girl like just dating just fuck with your head a little bit?
I have 100% been egged on to fight a guy by a girl. But it was much more, it was, I think, much more clear-cut circumstances than, like...
What was it?
It was
probable cause. It was actual probable cause.
She was like, this guy's
being... threw your brick through your window?
This guy's being real aggressive with me. Like, can you, like, go tell him to stop kind of stuff.
Oh.
So I didn't feel like, any type of way about having that conversation.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. You're like that Terry Crews looking motherfucker. Okay.
And it was a nigga that was substantially bigger than me. And I'm not a small person. And I'm like, wow.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Well, if you say so.
Look, okay.
This guy,
you're just up there breathing all that air up there. Huh? Okay.
This guy's an old lineman and I'm like a fullback. You know, it's like different kind of levels to this shit.
Did you confront them?
I did confront them in like the very like,
cordial,
like hey, chill bro. And he was like, all right man, like it was very much like he did the typical nigga shit, like, you know, I didn't mean to disrespect you, you know, I was cool disrespecting your girl, but I ain't know her nigga was standing right here, I ain't want to disrespect you, my
yeah,
nigga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like it was kind of like resolved.
He's like
as unfortunate as that is in terms of the overall zeitgeist of the culture, in terms of, you know, how women are perceived, as a nigga in that moment, you got to be grateful. Like, whoo, thank God I got some respect out here in these streets. God damn, I did not want to fight this nigga.
The way you just described that took me back to the Boondocks so much, by the way. As a nigga in the zeitgeist, let me just... Remember a nigga moment?
Right.
A nigga moment is when ignorance overwhelms the mind of an otherwise logical nigga.
Word for word, bar for bar. I see you with the
like the way you described it, though, bro, that straight up took me back to the Boondocks. That was so good. I love that. Even the guy that you confronted knew you had to say something because of...
That's what it was. He was like...
You know what I mean? He's like, okay, bro. All right, I see you. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly how that shit was.
I can respect that. Okay. My fault, G.
Yeah.
You got lucky this time, bitch. Oh, damn, that's fucked up.
You're just lucky it wasn't a club night at the end of close to last call and he didn't have anything. That's when that aggression really hits the peak, you know what I mean? That's when you're going to fight.
No, man, my cousin taught me some real shit, man, a while back. And, like, you know, he with the shits, you know what I'm saying? He didn't, you know, got it. He was a nigga that actually hit the bird line a couple times. Had niggas on the team, on the payroll, what's happening. And he taught me, like, man, bro, like, sometimes you gotta listen to your head instead of your heart. You know, he was out in Atlanta, and some niggas had said some slick-ass crazy shit about the girl that he was with. And then they doubled down. It was like, man, fuck that nigga that you with, too. We'll beat his ass. And it was like, two niggas. He was like, man, I'm about to go back and fuck these dudes up. But then he realized it was like a couple of these motherfuckers. So... He's faced with a decision.
Trap.
Do I be like, oh, nigga, not me and my woman. Stand behind me. Or do I just walk away?
Either way, we fucking...
Either way.
Either way. Like, no, man. You get back in the car and you're so thankful that you did. You know
it ain't worth it, like, bro. Like, it's a dead ass. I don't, like, it's... Unless...
And you guys are in America, too. Keep in mind, in Canada, nobody's got a pistol. Nobody's got a pistol. Unless you're going to go and... You got work and you're doing work, you're gonna have it. But as far as altercations, regular altercations, no one brings out a gun in Canada. That's a gun, especially in fucking Georgia. That shit is common.
And it's work. It's bro. I would say in Atlanta, it's probably less common. But I would say in Kentucky, regular motherfuckers carry. Like soccer moms like carry into the grocery store. Like I just assume that everyone has a gun. Like that. Yeah. Like that's not, like I'm like she has a gun. He has a gun. The fucking 18-year-old probably has a fucking AR-15 in his trunk because you can do that shit. Like here, like I'm just like everybody fucking has a gun. So I be chilling. Like you got to push me. You got to endanger like life and well being for me to get to a point where it escalates to that level. And at that point, I think the guns become even more dangerous because I don't think they de-escalate the situation at all. Mm-mm. It's more like, I need to shoot first is the mindset that a lot of people come up, because like if both of us got a gun,
yeah,
like, you know what I mean, like
who shoots first lives.
Pretty much, because it's super easy to pull a damn trigger, but it's hard to goddamn, you know, pull punches, fire off punches, I should say.
Or like if all I right. point somebody, like we talked about that shit at when I was out not too long ago, it was like you throw a punch, like you 100, they 100% need to go down. Like, that needs to be lights out. That needs to be the best fucking punch you ever threw. Because, again, like...
Oh, you're just inviting full-on violence to the end. Because now they're embarrassed because they got punched.
Exactly.
So now they got to do way more damage on you.
And now you just took two bullets to the chest. And I'm like, goddamn, fuck.
Yeah. Fighting hard in the motherfucker, bro. Like,
you're looking like Usher in the Super Bowl. Fucking.
Riddled with bullets. All right, we got time. I think we got time for like one more. I'm going to do something light because, you know, we don't have a ton of time. But we'll go to how to find out your actual attractiveness number.
I was watching this video.
You did? All right, hold on, man.
A little bit of it. Go back and I didn't finish
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hold on. I'm about to pull this bitch up.
She's doing math and shit. It was like a Jay-Z song. She said average some shit out. Watch. You'll see.
You know what I'm saying?
I was watching something on TikTok, right? This guy said everybody in the world in terms of attraction is between a 3 and a 7. And the reason why a lot of people are single is because they think that they're more appealing than what society deems them as attractive. So you might be a 4, yeah, but in your mind, you're an 8. So you're going to go to the people who are 8s, right, but the 8s don't want you because technically you're a 4. I said, okay, that's fair. This guy then said, if you want to figure out what the society standard you are, you need to average out the range of the men or women that you have dated previously. So if you have dated a four, a 6, 7, then you median it. In society's eyes, you're a 5. So I checked my database, right?
And what numbers did you get?
Numbers that kind of ruin my self-esteem.
Okay, yes, good.
She was like, oh, I'm not how this shit popping.
Yeah. Okay, well, no, that makes sense. Now that I watched it again, I guess that. But then it says you're as hot as who you've dated, which is not
physically. That's not the truth, it's definitely not true.
Yeah, right. Because you might have some. You ever see
the
like
average? Not one person. Not an outlier.
Yeah, but I know some guys that were like, I know my one buddy, all high school and college, beast wrestler. This guy always ugly guy, ugly Irish fuck. All right, but this guy always bagged the hottest chicks for as long as I knew. And just the confidence and the physique and whatever you want to, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not always true. You may have like a confidence that brings you a lot higher aesthetically than what you could get had you not had it, just based on physical looking, you know what I mean?
If you're tall.
If I can get my Eddie Button on.
Tall, absolutely.
But if I can get my Eddie Button on real quick and to bring a little bit of nuance to this conversation and the way that we view,
preach, my brother,
and the
preach
way that we view the attractiveness of other people in relation
to testify
the male, female, and they themselves gaze, because you could be outwardly butt-ass ugly but beautiful on the inside and have all the characteristics and traits that would make you a 10 out of 10 in terms of attractiveness to other people. That might have been what your wrestling nigga was doing. He might have been funnier than a motherfucker, outgoing, goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Like, swinging the bat every time.
And they specify attraction too, right? They didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't say handsome or pretty, right? So yeah. I do think that attraction is a total package kind of thing.
Subjective.
Yeah. Well, all of it is subjective. You know what I mean?
Let me. Okay, so I'm not really a huge fan of quote unquote bad bitches and like that whole aesthetic of a
quote unquote personality.
Quote unquote personality. I don't like intelligent like women who've got substance. Nah, fuck all that. But not for real, like bad bitches, like, because we all know like what that aesthetic looks like. When we think of like a bad bitch, like we all have an image that comes to our head. I'm not necessarily attracted to that Kate image. Blanchett. That's not attractive to me. Like, she could be beautiful, dead ass beautiful, but it's not necessarily attractive to me.
Like sexy red or all these chicks.
That's not.
That's what I'm saying. So you said we all had an image and we all said like very different things. So, but I get what you're saying.
But you said a bad bitch. Yeah. What do you think of Cardi B? Like, what are we talking here? Like a certified Megan? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a bad bitch, but there ain't no bad bitch. You know what I'm saying? No, boy, I tell you, I want that.
Shoot yourself in the foot for that, huh?
Like, boy, I tell you, I might donate my left nut and get it. I might palm my left nut and buy it back. After the thing is over. Oh, like, I'm just thinking like a typical, like, Instagram, like, baddie. Like, something simple, you know what I'm saying? Like, just a lot of outward makeup appearance.
Yeah. In terms of traditionally sexy, by traditional.
Just like your average everyday 10.
In terms of how you think about
just
it.
Just a certified IG blue check bad bitch. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm a Christian. Yeah. You know I'm a Christian. Like, what?
Look, I'm probably the wrong person to ask about this.
No, but I know what you mean. By the way, and also all of the stuff we're saying, you can only achieve a 10. You can't, you know, soft skills. Soft skills can get you up the ladder, right? Yeah. But they can't go past 9, 9.5.
I agree. Like, I agree.
A 10?
You can't funny your way to a 10. You can't funny your way to a 10.
I don't care how charismatic or benevolent you fucking are. I don't care how much you donate or you're at the soup kitchen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
niggas, you can't.
A 10 is a 10.
Niggas, you can't money your way to a 10 either, by the way, niggas. Just letting y'all know that, too. You can't money your way to a 10 either.
What's a 10, then? If you can't money your way to a 10, then what's a 10? Because you can money your way to a lot of shit, but what's a 10? If we gonna say
but
that.
But keep in mind, 9.5, you can money your way or you can all your way up to a 9.5.
Yeah.
A 9.5 gets you, in regular life, a 9.5 gets you everything.
There are almost no 9.5s.
A 10 is like a comet.
A 10 doesn't exist. Like, that's the unicorn. Damn. And if you find it.
And you can't hold it.
She's not a 10.
Right? It's gone.
That's because they don't exist.
I think 10s exist. Damn, so, like, here's the thing. And that's what I was gonna get into. So, like. And I think that she was being hyperbolic when she was discussing like the ranking situation where she was talking about everybody is between a 3 and a 7. So if everybody's between a 3 and a 7, that just means that 3 is effectively a 1.
Scale is gone.
Yeah, that just means 3 is effectively a 1 and 7 is effectively a 10, which means that somebody's a 10 and somebody's a 1. But I know that that's not what she really meant, but I did just want to point that out. But I think you can find 10s. In total attractiveness, right? Like, I don't think that necessarily, like, everybody that I would consider a 10 is the most beautiful or the most handsome person, like, ever. But, like, I definitely think that they are pretty enough or handsome enough to, like, those other package features to get them to that state. And I do think that it's extremely subjective.
Like, extremely externally beautiful by damn near anyone's metrics. And also, great personality, great health. Financial situation, it's on point, down to earth, like everything that you could.
I know women like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I know 100 of them. I'm not saying I know 50 of them, but
they exist. They're out there. Like, let's put some names to it, just for the sake of people at home that don't have the imagination. Halle Berry, late 20s.
10.
Where do we put
it? Let's go. Boom. 10. Easy.
Right?
Easy. Mm-hmm. 20.
Sophia
Longoria, whatever her name is. Early age. Have you seen her in Soul Plane?
Oh, Eva Longoria.
Whatever her name is. Sophia, the one in Modern Family. Hispanic.
Sophia Vergara.
Oh, Sophia Vergara. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Did you see her when she was in Soul Plane? Like in early 2000s?
Yes. I wouldn't. I mean.
Lord have mercy, bro.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy,
bad,
bro.
Bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, we.
10. That's a 10.
I met a girl in real life. Like about a year or so ago, like on a modeling thing, and I was fucking up like the modeling shit because I was like just so in tune, just like with her. I'm just entrapped. But she was like gorgeous for one, like tall, like body, but she was down to earth.
I think I recall this.
You were enchanted on that episode that night?
I was enchanted. Like, I was enchanted.
He's got birds flying over his head. Like,
let's exchange Instagrams, you know, if you want to. She's like, yeah, for sure. Never reached out to her because I was like, man, you too bad for me, goddamn. I think I could have. I definitely could have got a date, but yeah. But anyway.
And I would also push back on, like, your rating is based on the median or even the average of who you date. Because I will say, and I've talked about this at length, that I've consistently been able to punch above my weight. And I'm not even just talking about, again, like the physical, you know, pretty handsome, like, dichotomy. I'm saying even overall package, I think I've been able to punch above my weight pretty consistently. So I would say that my rating is substantially lower than the average or median of you know, the women that I've been able to date historically. And
yeah, by that like, system, like, you walking around thinking you're a nine.
Yeah, and I definitely don't think I'm a fucking nine. Like, I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like you can have some level of self-awareness.
Awareness, exactly.
To understand that sometimes there is a discrepancy between what you've been able to punch above your weight to achieve based on luck or circumstance or whatever, and what you actually look like, even what you bring to the table, like all those kinds of things. And I feel like that's a very easy thing for me to do, but I can also see how that can be hard for some other people to do.
Yeah, especially if it went the other way around, right? Yeah. What if you keep going below what you should be getting? Then you're like, fuck.
Oh, well.
You're like, fuck, I keep...
Which is what she brought up, right?
I'm an eight. I don't give a fuck. I'm an eight. You know, like in your head, you right?
What if you really are an eight but keep getting sixes on purpose? Like, you just continually punch below.
But you know what it is? Because I remember when I was like in the dating game. Here's the thing. The lower the number you go, the faster you think you'll get what you want, right? Isn't that the game? Isn't that the name of the game?
That is,
you're like, that's fair. You're like, you're a six, so you better not have any resistance. That's... You know what I mean? Like,
whoa.
Relax. Hey, don't put it like that. Don't.
For Christ's sake, you're a complete sociopath.
Don't interrupt.
That's not how I interpret it. I interpret it on some I'm a sociopath type shit. On some 48 laws of power, like manipulation.
Like,
type
never
game.
Go against not the master. Even, not even.
Now, if you've completed all the other steps properly up to this point, she'll naturally want to take the relationship to the next level.
Relax, boys. You guys took it on some fucking...
It's okay, Machiavelli. Like, just go ahead and do what you're going to do, man.
Jonathan Major shit there for a second.
I am a great man.
I am a great man.
Any bitch would be lucky to be down on her knees in front of me.
Yo, what do they say? If you don't get to home base by the first date, that's fine. That's the name of the game. Second, third date, that's right. If she's a 10, I'm waiting 10 dates. I'm waiting 11 dates. If she's a 5, a 6... And by the second date, I'm not getting any. I'm gone. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I can understand the logic.
You're playing way too hard to get. Like,
I can understand the logic. You're playing way
How
too
do you guys
hard.
Not?
I mean, look.
Playing a numbers game.
I've never even thought about
We're
it.
We're literally this whole segment is numbers. Alvin, this whole is explicitly numbers.
You are correct.
I've never even thought
You've
about it.
You've won that round.
It's
right?
Like,
no. But Josh, hear me out on this. Right? If she is bad and it's like, it's been the fourth day, dinner, great. Let's go back to your place for some, you know, like a nightcap. No. Okay. All right. I'll text you. Get home safe. You know, good night. Whatever. You're beautiful tonight. Blah, blah, blah. But bro, if she's like, you know, she was like some hurting chick that's funny. Sick. She's funny. And we hung out one time. We hung out two times. And it's like, you can like, and then she doesn't give it to you on the third. You're like, you're not that funny. You know what I'm saying? You're not that funny. I'm gone.
You're not that funny for me to stick around. I don't give a fuck.
And it's funny.
Yeah, like, that's the truth. Whether you agree with me or not, this is how we all think.
I get it.
And this thing is hilarious because you're a comedian and you're just like, you're just not even funny to me. Like, you're just like fucking hilarious. Like,
sure, I have a fucking license on funny and you ain't it. Like, not that funny, goddamn. But
like, I know funny. Funny is what I do. Funny is what I am.
Imagine back in the day. Yeah, funny is what I am. And you are not that. Nor are you attractive. Goodbye. Like, what the fuck?
I can definitely see like a younger Abbas like getting that shit off like to one of these bad chicks that just wouldn't give up the draws. Like, you know what? I'm tired of playing these games.
You should have heard how confident I was when I had hair, bro. Ooh.
Disgusting.
Line up, fresh lineup, bro. That's just some wild shit.
I mean, shit. Like, I'm just like, yo, if the vibe ain't there, like, if I don't feel like you're mutually attracted to me, like, if we couldn't just, like, kiss at, you know, like, at any moment, not at any moment, but, like, if I don't feel like that vibe.
The rate of progress.
The rate of progress, but, like, also just, like, just the little intricacies of, like, interactions, like, touching on me. Or like looking deeply into my eyes and like getting close to me, like you just got your face extremely close to mine.
Signs,
to where
exactly.
If I just, you know what I mean, like that's sort of that level of intimacy. If I don't feel that, I'm not. I don't give a fuck how goddamn bad or cold you is. Lies.
No. I don't know. If you,
but,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying.
You've gone on some dates with some ones where you guys are this far apart the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, then I'm, like, not, next, I'm not, I'm yeah, not, no, we'll like, you know.
You know what I mean? Like, next time we'll be this close.
Yeah, right, right. Like, I mean, but you know.
You're wishful.
You know, after, you know, like, if there's just got to be like a vibe and a chemistry. Like, if that's not there, then I'm not pursuing nothing. After that point, we can still kick it because I might really enjoy your company. I might really enjoy your, you know, your perspective, your humor, your personality. Just because, you know, I like female energy. I love having conversations with women. But like on some fucking type tip, if I don't feel that vibe, like a mutual attraction there, I'm putting you in the friend zone, really. Like, well, you might already have me there, but in my mind, it's like, all right, well, that's the homie. Unless until like maybe one night, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not pressed over nothing.
Now I'm wondering. I'm like, was I too aggressive back in the day? Fuck. Like, some stories gonna come out of me. Fuck.
I know.
They say the thing that the thing that's gonna take you down already happened. Isn't that what they say?
Mm. Yeah. I haven't heard that actually.
If they don't say it, they should say it, because that shit's
smart. I know, right?
Like, I know, I haven't they heard should say before. It now.
What the thing that's gonna take you down, you already did. I'm not making this up. Like, just with regards to like all the in the Me Too thing. They're like, whatever you did, you already did.
Oh,
like,
my God, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, no one's perfect. And no one, if you're not someone of notoriety or, like, some very small clout or whatever, no
a
one
very
gives
small
a fuck.
Business. Like,
very small business.
Yeah, very,
very small business. You know what I'm saying? No one gives a fuck to actually expose your dirt. And then even if your dirt was exposed, still no one's going to give a fuck, except maybe that goddamn job at Walmart you got, but then that's still gonna be like a big ass fucking thing. But
then the second you do, then there's so much currency with a bad story. You know what I mean? Like look at Louis C.K. No one said nothing until he started doing arenas consistently.
Yeah.
Once he started doing arenas, all the stories came to take him down. Look at Matt Rife. He's the best. He's the best.
Matt
He's the
Rife,
best.
Yeah.
Netflix, fuck him. Fuck Matt. People love to build up and tear down.
He also changed, Matt Rife also changed his swag, right? He used to do like that work in the audience kind of shit. And I think that he's really good at that. And then he started trying to do more like traditional comedy, and he's just not funny in that.
No. See, like, yeah. it happened. No, because this happened like, damn, we gotta close this bitch out in a second. But it happened like damn near in conjunction, because he was still doing like the whole working the crowd thing, like still very successful on that. And then like, boom, Netflix. And then he released a special that this was by his own goddamn sword, and he was just talking about shit that wasn't funny, and then like was just ill-informed. I don't even think he had bad intentions, but yeah, just whatever he was trying to do, you missed the mark, and it turned out being offending a lot of people, and they got a lot of people to turn on him, but they turned quick, and then after that,
quick as fuck. The whole thing was 6 months.
You're
the
right.
The whole thing.
That's crazy.
The whole thing. When's the last time you heard his name? I bet you wasn't
in
this
a positive
month.
It wasn't.
I bet you wasn't this
It hasn't
month,
been since the, it hasn't
ago?
Been the fucking since the fucking special dropped. Yeah.
But on the way up, every day 10 times you heard his name, yeah. Right? On the day,
TL,
I'm like in
was,
comedy.
Yeah.
People are like, "Yo, you know Matt Rife? You know Matt Rife?" People that don't know anything about comedy. Matt Rife, he's a Taylor Swift of comedy. And then when he did this, the way he went down, me watching it from a third-party point of view blew my mind. The speed up and the speed down. And the problem was he kept putting out crowd work shit, and now everyone is coming to his shows yelling all show because they think he only does crowd work. Mm-hmm. So he can't even do jokes. So now I think what he's trying to do is he's really trying to recondition his audience to be like, I do jokes. Whether you like these jokes or not, come to my shows expecting jokes. Don't be constantly yelling, because that's what was happening, because mm-hmm. he was only putting out crowd work and people were just yelling and nothing was really happening.
Yeah, that's that thing, man. You know, you catch that that little thing that's like, oh shit, this is successful. It might not be for the best long term, but let's keep doing it. And with that being said, everybody, good people, ladies and gentlemen, theys, thems, chickens, dogs, ducks, as Manny Fresh would say, it's been the show. It's been your boys. It's Josh. It's been Alvin. It's been the illustrious Abbas Wahab.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Man, most definitely. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, if you see a comedian picking a venue where they know there's going to be some smoke and they could just get some, you know, some clout, some attention from to sell out some more venues, then, you know, hey, you might be seeing a red flag. But if you sniffing your own socks in front of your new girl or your own or your new significant other just unprovoked, goddammit, it's probably you that's waving the red flag. God darn. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, click the notification bell. Alvin, help me out here, my brother. I can never just remember like all the great shit that we're doing.
Yeah, become members in all available platforms. You know, take your pick, man. We're on Spotify.
Take your
pick.
Can
get memberships on YouTube, assuming that works now. Patreon.
It's been working. It's been, you know, some people just need to do it from a computer versus their mobile. I think that's the thing. But yes.
Yes, fair enough.
But yes, so yes, please become a member where you can gain access into all sorts of bonus content. Join the lives. And yeah, it's been your boys. Abbas, where can they find you? Where can the good people find you? Plug your shit, my guy.
Yo, just follow the socials, Abbas Wahab, ABBASWAHAB, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I drop stand-up. I drop funny little random shits. And America, look out for me. Hopefully, I'll be doing my inaugural U.S. tour this year. It's called the Wallahi America Tour. Wallahi. Look out for that soon.
Good shit.
That's it.
Good shit. Yeah. That's been it, good people. We will see y'all next week. All right.
Peace.
All right, we can stop the locals.
All right.